Welcome back to Stadiasaurus, your number one source for stadium news and reviews. This is the Stadiasaurus Roundtable Podcast. My name is Avery, and we have got a great show tonight, so let's get to it. With me tonight, we have Dan the Man.
How's it going?
We've got Dom What a Rice.
Evening.
Right under him, we got the gaming CPA, Blue Bobs.
Hey, everyone.
To his left, we got your very own C-Truth Lee.
Hello.
And we've got Scarlet Stream, Carly, over there.
Hello, you murder of crows.
We have a big, big show tonight. It's not like anything happened in the world of cloud gaming this week, right? Or gaming in general, you guys? Before we get to our... let's just get straight to mention our guests, because it's a crossover episode. We are thrilled to have the gang from this week on Stadia Unfiltered joining us to discuss the week's news. It's Eddie, Chase, and Kai. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Hello, you beautiful...
Oh, my. Say, at least he bleeped it out.
We're filtered here. We are filtered. We're slightly filtered. We're less taste great filter. No, I don't know. It's fine. Gentlemen, we'll give you a chance to say hi in just a moment. But before we get started, did you know you can listen to us as an actual podcast? Search for Stadiasaurus on Spotify, Pocket Casts, Apple Podcasts, or wherever it is that you get your podcasts. Also, if you're watching us live, we want you to be a part of the conversation. Say hi in the chat, and if you want to be sure we bring your message up during the show, use the Super Chat feature or the Super Sticker to show your support for Stadiasaurus. Last but not least, you can join Stadiasaurus right here on YouTube. Members get amazing perks from exclusive community play live streams to early access videos to even some Stadiasaurus merch, like maybe a beautiful Stadiasaurus mug every now and again. Look at that. So hit the join button right down below to find out about all those perks and to become a member. So, gentlemen, from our good friends at This Week on Stadia, both the filtered and unfiltered, we want you to get a chance to say hi and tell us about what your streams are, both the This Week on Stadia and your personal channels. So we'll go left to right. Eddie, we'll kick off with you.
All right. So I'm not the host, I am the co-host of This Week on Stadia Unfiltered show. It's done over my channel with my two amazing co-hosts here. It's every Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. on Eastern Time at over 80 Player One YouTube channel. And yeah, that's about it. We talk about Stadia, we talk about games, we talk about whatever is going on in the world of games, and we talk about beer, or actually Kai talks about beer.
Fantastic. Kai, tell us a little bit about you and your channel.
Well, Eddie lied. He's not a co-host. He is the pilot. He is the head of what we do on Unfiltered. So, yeah, he takes that whole thing to a whole nother level. They just brought me on board because they see me as, I don't know. Just, I guess, a different light of things. But, you know, I'm the person that brings the beer. So, just thought I'd go ahead and do that right quick and let y'all know what I'm about. I don't have a channel just yet. I am getting to that point. I just haven't made my decision on how we're going to go about this.
Does that
but
count?
As you can see,
it does. It absolutely does.
It is a Goza, and it is from some good people I know called Crowns and Hops Brewery. It makes some fantastic beer. They're actually starting out very good. It's awesome.
Fantastic. We appreciate you bringing happy hour to the Stadia Store Roundtable. Chase, Mr. Stadia Talk, tell us about you and your channel.
Kai's 100% right. Eddie is the captain. He is the pilot. He does all of the amazing heavy lifting. So Eddie deserves a huge round of applause for all of the hard work he does. We're lucky to be in the company of an amazing individual, in my opinion.
But tell us more about Eddie.
Sorry,
you man.
as far as me, I do the Stadia Talk channel, and it's primarily a business focused channel. It's very much about consumer advocacy, looking at marketing and how it plays into how we view our video games. So it's a much different take than a lot of the content that's out there, but it's one that I think is important because if you pull the curtain back, you get to see how things actually move, some of the moving pieces, and sometimes that's important to kind of get an understanding of the gaming landscape in the industry. So
absolutely fantastic. We got quite a chat. Oh yeah, go ahead, Eddie.
I'm sorry if you allow me to I forgot to add, unfortunately we have another resident host on our show, co-host. It's Ashes to Ashes. Unfortunately he could not be here today. Personally,
hanging out with us in the chat. Yep, absolutely. And Ashes, we appreciate you being in holding down the tech side of this week on Stadia Fort for us today. We got a hop in chat already. Hops not being the joke I was going for there, but it kind of worked. Folks, let us know what are you drinking tonight as you're tuned into the Stadia Source roundtable. Victor, he's got his cuppa. It's okay. You can have a cup of tea there. Enjoying. Blue Bob's familiar name, familiar face. Enjoying his coffee there. Scarlet with the water. I'm rocking the caffeine free Diet Coke. Is what I've got going on today. So chat is popping, and we'll say hi to a few other folks. Squid popping in to say hello on the lunch. We appreciate you taking your lunch break with us, Squid. We gotta find out where you're at. You're doing lunch. And Miles from the review team here at Stadia Source saying hi in the chat as well. And Dan with the hardcore Smirnoff going on. Seven saying hey guys. And don't worry, Eddie, you can just tell your wife the booze is only for the show. It's just for the show. We got member Shane, that's the brother, the big old brother there, saying hello from the Blizzard campus. A fascinating guy there with a lot of musical talent. And Felix from the Stream Team Dream Team saying hey to everybody. So good to see everybody in the chat. Chilled Frank with the Coke Zero. I appreciate that, Chilled Frank. I'm right there with you. Let's kick it off as we always do with a little bit of discussion of what we have been playing this week. And we'll give our guests primary time on that. So Eddie, what's been on your playlist, Stadia or otherwise, this week?
All right. So on the otherwise side, I had a lot of fun playing Among Us. And this week was good as well. I got a victory on Fall Guys. So two double wins.
Get that crown.
And on Stadia side, I think I've been doing a little bit of Bomberman here and there. The Crew, which is part of my dailies. And yeah, that's about it. There has been not so much gaming this week.
Very fun. How about you, Kai? What's been on your game time this week?
This week has been mainly Rogue Company on PlayStation 4. I really haven't played anything on Stadia this week. It's been an interesting week work wise. So I just, you know, when I can, I jump on PlayStation. Now that I have Rogue Company, and that's pretty much been it.
Yeah, I would imagine we have at least one other Rogue Company fan amongst us. Chase, I wonder what you've been playing this week.
So actually, on Stadia, I'll go with Stadia first. So PUBG Played a little bit of that. Uno is so much fun. I don't want to boast, but I'm up on the leaderboards.
Nice.
I finally went to the leaderboards and looked, and I was like, oh my God, I've actually been playing this game way too much. I probably need to stop. So yeah, I had fun with that. But Rogue Company has been a game that it's near and dear to my heart. I'm a big third person shooter person, grew up playing SOCOM, Counter-Strike. So it speaks to my heart. So yeah.
And check out Stadia Talk channel for a video earlier this week, talking about we might just get Rogue Company near and dear. So take a look at that. Woolock with the super sticker. And it doesn't even tell me what the sticker was, or unless that was your message. Maybe your message was super sticker, if that's the case.
It was a little blue thing doing this.
Yeah, it's a little blue guy going thumbs up.
Yeah, thumbs up.
You know, I suppose I could actually pull up my own stream so I could see what those things are. But thank you, Woolock. Woolock, one of the writers over at Cloudy with a Chance of Games, another fantastic site for cloud gaming news. Not that there's any cloud gaming news happening right now, but we might just talk about some of the big news in just a little bit. Blue Bombs, I know some of what you've been playing because I watched you for 7 hours this morning.
Yeah, I mean, I've just been dabbling just here and there with a little game called Serious Sam. So luckily it launched today, although I was a little shocked as to when it was going to launch, because the Devolver Digital did mention that it was going to launch at 3 p.m. CEST. No idea what time zone that is, but it was supposed to be 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, which is the northwest of the U.S. But it launched on Steam at 6:30 possibly, but it didn't come to Stadia until 9 a.m., which is the typical normal Stadia release time. So I was a little confused as to when, so I started the stream at 6:30 just in case it was going to come early. Ended up finally beating Serious Sam 3 in 3.5 days of streaming. So I think it took 7.5 hours to beat the game. So, but then got to play some Serious Sam 4. So that's a lot of fun. It's just the same as the other three games. It just continues the franchise and the series well.
Even more explosions and racing at you from the sidelines. Lee, what have you been playing this week?
Andrew, I've been playing Serious Sam 3. Just trying to work my way through that before getting stuck into Serious Sam 4. I think that's the only thing I've been playing on Stadia this week. Rogue Company as well. I've been playing that on PlayStation 4. And a little bit of Streets of Rage 4 on xCloud. Just to give it a proper test.
Absolutely. We'll have to compare xCloud notes, because I might have also been playing some of that this week. But I'll tell you what I've been playing. Scarlett, what have you been playing this week?
I have been playing Uno on my phone.
Nice.
Stadia version of Uno on your phone, or the Android version of Uno?
No, Stadia. It's the only game that I've been able to play this week because everything's gone everywhere. So Uno.
everybody, Uno. It's Uno, yes, 2 weeks in a row. It's Dos at this point.
Dos. You're so funny.
Dom, don't encourage me. It's a terrible choice. Dom, what have you been playing this week?
So I've also been playing Uno on my phone during my lunch breaks. I've played a bit of WWE 2K Battlegrounds, which is a game. I've also been playing... I haven't actually played any Dead by Daylight this week, which is shocking.
For you, that's a big gap.
For me, yeah. And I've also been playing some Crusader Kings 3 on PC, which is a ton of fun.
Very fun. It's more folks on the Uno train. Dan, how about you?
I have been playing Bomberman on those Sunday streams that we've been playing on, which are hella fun, and we always get a really, really good turnout. So yeah, I think you're doing another one. Well, we're doing another one this Sunday, so you're not there for that one, are you, Avery? But
no, I'm going to be on. Take a little break with the missus. But Sunday's 1 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock British. Super Bomberman community play. I think that's just going to be a thing we do from now on, because it's ridiculously fun and I enjoy it, whether or not anybody else does. But I think other people seem to have enjoyed it so far.
I don't think we'll have quite the same level of commentary as what you used to, but we'll try our best. But we'll
get our quietest people. It'll be Dan and Dom and Lee. Just yeah, it was a good bomb right there. it'll be the golf version. It'll be the golf version. And he puts the blue bouncy bomb down, and oh no, he just missed. just golf claps. No.
Other than that,
I need to congratulate you because you did an amazing stream with Perfect Legend on Super Bomberman. I'm all over to have like a Super Bomberman Creators Cup with Avery comment the commentary because that was top notch commentary on that day.
I appreciate it. I keep saying I'll have to be part of it, but just lose immediately so that I can just watch everybody else. I'll just blow myself up so that I can watch everybody else and comment on it. Like, oh no, I'm out in 64th place again. You know.
But yeah, I've also been playing Marvel's Avengers a little bit, and I've also been throwing my balls at critters in Pokemon Go, as Rock would describe the game as. So
I always forget to say Pokemon right Go. There. You can't. You're not the only one.
Yeah,
that would mean something very different if you were the one saying that, Carly. But
just,
you know,
throwing balls.
Yeah.
The chat's already like, oh, okay. It's too much. That is too much. And during just randomly during the show, Eddie's going to be putting out Morse code for a Stadia game code or something. That'll be hilarious. It just broke my brain. Bomberman, yes, I've been enjoying our weekly Bomberman streams as far as what I've been playing. I have more fun doing the commentary than I do actually playing the game. So I'm pretty sure if Konami is watching and y'all could create just a spectator only mode so that I could do that, I'm in. You got me. I'll do the Creators Cup. Yeah, but we should absolutely get a larger event together for Bomberman because it is just too fun. And then outside of that, that's actually been the only thing I played on Stadia this week. I'm taking advantage of the glory of my new computer try out the Game Pass Ultimate for both PC and streaming, and I just beat Crackdown 3, which was super, super fun game. Not my usual type of game. I've been playing some Fall Guys. I've not done better than about fifth so far, but I have made it to the last round a couple of times. And then I've just been trying around. I like to play just everything. So I've played a little bit of Two Point Hospital, and I played a little bit of Pathfinder Kingmaker, and I played a little bit of Sea of Thieves, and a little bit of Pillars of Eternity. And my wife is a huge Disney fan, so I played a little bit of Disneyland Adventure. That's the glory of game streaming services that give you a lot of game choices, is you can play things you never thought you would. Perhaps we'll talk more about that in just a little bit. But first, let's get to the news. In the news roundup, you would think that if today was the only thing we had to talk about, we could certainly fill the entire hour or hour and a half. But it has been a very busy week for news in the gaming industry, specifically news around Stadia and everything that is going on there. So let's jump in and talk about some of the big news of the week. Number one, big announcement earlier this week from Stadia that the Stadia Makers freshman class is now available, or is coming soon. So we got word of 7 games in the freshman class, plus 2 extras that we'll be getting that are kind of part ones or prequels or the first before a sequel in that freshman class, and lots of really cool games and a very wide variety of games out there. We actually did an interview, which you can see on StadiaSource.com, with the developers of one of the games called Unto the End, and I'm sure it's down here in the scroll. Yep, down there in the scroll, which is a game that I saw probably on every single indie game stream of the year has had this game in it. And none of them, not one, has actually had a Stadia logo on it. So it's games like this that clearly are coming to the platform and taking advantage of that Makers program. Kai, did you get a chance to check out these trailers and what do you think of some of these games that are coming to the platform?
Yeah, I saw a couple of them. This one in particular I did see. I was actually really surprised with it. It looks good. The art style, the gameplay of it just looks amazing. And then I'm trying to think, what was the other one?
We've got Tohu, which is a little point and clicker, almost looks like a little adventure kind of game. I don't think I shared audio because I didn't want to. So from Fire Art Games, which keep an eye out
for. That one I don't think I have seen. I think the other one was the typing one. that I saw. That was really interesting to me.
Nanotail Typing Chronicle.
Yes, yes.
Which looks really fantastic.
Those two, and I know Death Carnival. Actually, I wasn't really looking at Death Carnival like that, but I did read about it, and I was like, okay, that actually, you know, that actually is intriguing. So those three are the main ones that I've seen or that I looked at that, you know, really caught my eye and caught my attention as far as this goes.
Yeah, Death Carnival definitely looks really fascinating. And we have an interview coming up with Fury Ion Games that you'll see on StadiaSource.com letting you know more about Death Carnival. That should be posted possibly tomorrow or over the weekend. So keep an eye on that. Other folks, thoughts on these games in the Stadia Makers program? Any of these look particularly catch-eye to anybody?
The one you've got on screen now.
Yeah, same here.
Death Carnival.
I love... Oh, go ahead. Somebody's going to jump in.
No.
I was just going to say, I love twin stick shooters. I mean, we already have a game that's similar to that with Genesis. And they're a lot of fun. And the fact that this one's going to have online multiplayer, PvP, I mean, I'm all about it. Bring it on. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's not just online multiplayer, but breaking on Stadia Source Roundtable, it will also be crossplay. Fully crossplay. You'll find out more about that in our interview. But yes, it is both. Y'all can tell I like The Office because of what my suggestions are there. But yes, there'll be fully crossplay as well as multiplayer online. So hopefully, big lobbies for that as well.
I'm interested in the Kaze one. I know nothing about it, but it's got a cute fox.
Oh, Kaze and the Wild Mask.
Or rather, that's what it was.
Yeah, I was about to say, it kind of looked bunny to me. But the fact that they like climb the things with their ears is just too adorable to me. It just delights. It's beyond delightful.
I love it.
anybody else got thoughts on the Stadia Makers program? It really does.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Sorry, folks are telling me I have some weird audio issues. I apologize for that. I don't know how to solve it, but we'll just back off the mic a little bit, see if that helps. So yeah, definitely a lot of interesting games in here. Big up Super Chat with no message, but we appreciate Dave for sending them that pound Super Chat. Dave, one of our members, because he's got that nice little symbol on him there. So yeah, lots of different kind of games in here. But importantly, I think what this also represents is that movement forward in some of the behind-the-scenes programs that we've known have been out there for the longest time, like the Stadia Makers program, but that was announced February or March maybe, and we hadn't actually heard anything about it. This is the first set that we actually have heard about that game. Dan, I know we talked about Stadia Makers forever ago.
Yeah, it's good to see the fruits of the labor coming together. Like I said, there's some decent games in there. There's going to be a few people that are a bit annoyed that they seem to be indie titles, but I don't think this was ever about bringing big AAA games to Stadia. This is giving more of the indie developers a chance to bring their games to a platform. And obviously, at the moment, with Stadia not having as many titles as consoles like Xbox and PlayStation, they're going to get a lot more recognition. They're going to get a lot more screen time from people that probably wouldn't have found out about them otherwise. So excited to kind of see, you know what I mean, where it takes these studios, these developers in the future. But yeah, it gives them a springboard to excel from here.
Definitely a forward movement. Go ahead, Don. Yeah.
Yeah, we just saw, I remember there's a tweet from Necrosoft, the guys that made Gunsport, and they were super soaked about the amount of hours that they had in the first 5 days since launch on Stadia. Like, it's just going to help these developers, like, build better games in the future. And, platforms are built on indies, yeah. Like some of the biggest games we know were indie games to start off with. They're a lot of fun, and it's just the more games, the better. Yeah, so it doesn't matter if they're indie or AAs, they're AAAs, which we know are coming. I'm stoked for some of these. Like Death Carnival. When I first saw Death Carnival, I was like, "What?" When I saw the cutscene, I was especially like, "It's crazy." But then it was like, obviously, it's not exactly like the cutscene. I was like, "How does an indie manage to make a game look this good?" But like, it still looks a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to playing it.
Yeah, the cutscene, immediately you're like, that's kind of heavy. Oh, wait, it's just a twin stick. Okay, that's fine. But hey, still looks super, super fun. Charles in the chat reminds of Smash TV. That is exactly what I said when I first saw it. I was like, this is Smash TV merged with like Doom Eternal. That was one of my favorite games of the Super Nintendo era. So big money, big prizes. Oh, I love it. I don't know if anybody remembers that game might have just dated myself a little. Yeah, emulators still exist. But yeah, definitely very awesome to see these games come about and really improve the breadth of the games on Stadia. We've got a lot of very big heavy hitters, the Dooms and the Borderlands and all that kind of stuff. And now we're seeing that Stadia, very much like the Switch, can be a platform for really kind of interesting indie games. Chase, I know you've talked before about the need for the diversity of games and diversity of buying options on the platform for people who might not necessarily go for a Doom or whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a bad rap on indie games, and I think it's completely unfair. I've said it before that you need a diverse library. You need to have options. Options are a good thing. If you don't have options on a platform, that can lead to one of two things. You either have it's top heavy with AAAs, and that may not necessarily speak to a larger audience. It's a little bit more of the hardcore audience that wants those diverse experiences. And at the same token, you don't want to be too indie heavy because it could push away folks that may be interested in some of those AAA games. So you have to strike a balance. And I think right now, for the most part, I think we're seeing that with the platform, to be fair. So,
Any other thoughts on our Stadia Makers freshman class?
Yeah, I would just hop off what Chase was saying. Similar thing, just again, having that wide variety. The thing about having a ton of AAA titles is you have a ton of AAA prices that come along with it. And you know, you might drop $60 for Eternal, play 20 hours of it. In my mind, being a little nerdy, and I have a little triple B policy, Blue Bob's Bind policy is what I call it. I want to spend $1 for every hour I play. That's my goal. So if I buy a game for $60, I'm expecting 60 hours of gameplay. That's why I buy games on sale a lot. But like, for example, a game like Factorio, small game, I dropped $30 on it. I'm already like 50 hours into it. That's a game that's hit the triple B. So having that wide variety as well, reaching that wider audience, I think that's a great thing. And yeah, they got AAA titles lined up. Now they got new indie games coming out from basically a program that they've tried to help, you know, get them up and running. So I think it's really cool to see it.
It's definitely, and ultimately, I want new games anyways. Whatever game you bring as many games as you want. Maybe not some of the 99-cent shovelware from the Nintendo eShop, but, you know, we don't necessarily need 17 new versions of Picross, even though I'll take one. I like Picross, but, we'll see.
I just want Sonic Mania.
Sonic Mania. If only there was a place you could play Sonic Mania in the cloud. But perhaps we'll talk about that. Everybody in the chat's like, just get to it. I'm like, we got news, guys. Speaking of very large news and something that very much could have taken up our entire day today, Xbox buys Bethesda. So specifically Xbox, you know, Microsoft Game Studios or Xbox Microsoft bought ZeniMax Media, which is the parent or internet arrangement to buy them, which is the parent company for Bethesda. It's the parent company for ZeniMax Studio, which does Elder Scrolls Online, id Software, which does Doom, all of the family of gaming studios underneath that, brought them into the Xbox fold with the promise that, you know, the whole goal, the CEO said the whole goal is to make sure gamers can enjoy games no matter where they want to play on any screen and all that kind of stuff. And they've been a little sketchy about exclusivity, even though they've said, you know, it'll be case by case basis and stuff. But this got a lot of reaction all over the internet. Kai, I can tell you're already just like, come on, Bethesda, give us your thoughts on this one.
Yeah, I don't even, I talked to Chase with this. I talked to Chase about this, when it happened.
It's a fantastic reaction. It just says everything you need to know right there.
I don't even know. I gotta keep it on a level because we're not unfiltered right now. So I'm gonna keep it on a level.
It's 10 o'clock where Dan is. Go for it.
um, I'm just like, because I've never, okay, so one, I've never owned an Xbox ever. Never owned an Xbox at all. So for them to pull a move like this, like they've, to me, in my eyes, me coming from PlayStation, having a PlayStation all my life, you know, besides Sega and Nintendo and all that stuff like that, but being PlayStation strictly, for Microsoft to even pull out something like this was just mind-blowing. Like, I was like, oh my God, like, really? They really just did that? You know, they've done stuff in the past where it's just like, oh, you know, they've done, okay, it's fine, cool, whatever. PlayStation still got them, cool, whatever. But this, something that hits me, because they got ESO now. And I'm like, shit, you know, like they bought it. And now I'm seeing myself, not only did they buy Bethesda, you know, ZeniMax, but they also have it to where they have a next gen console that's $299. So they're literally pulling out all the stops to make sure that they're doing what they have to do to stay in the game, to make themselves still relevant and to meet expectations of gamers. And you cannot knock them for that. And I told Chase, when they did this deal, when they bought this for $7.5 billion, I was like, you have to give them props. Me and Chase said at the same time, we got to give them props for doing what they do. If you don't give them props, I'm sorry, at this point, it's just plain out hating. Like, I don't even know what to say about it. That's major for them to do something like that. And then now we're hearing about the whole Sega thing, possibly. I'm like, man, I don't know. It blew my mind. I was just like, I don't even know how to comprehend this. They get Sega on there, it's a wrap. I'm gonna be like, well.
Priz with the show the reaction. The whole PlayStation fandom right there.
Right there.
You know, obviously it's a big move, and the price tag goes right along with it. There aren't that many studios that have a higher profile than Bethesda and ZeniMax and everything that kind of falls underneath it. I mean, you're looking at like EA, Square, Ubisoft, Capcom. I mean, you know, I don't even know who's and then like Bethesda with Elder Scrolls and Doom are right up there with all the series that they've got going on. Dom, I'm seeing a reaction from you too.
I just like that's a lot of money. Like, I compare it. I just think Disney paid, what was it, $4 billion for the Star Wars, for Lucasfilm, yeah, which is Star Wars in the end. Like
Mike in the chat saying, you know, Microsoft is becoming the Disney of the gaming industry. Yep.
I don't think they'll make stuff like exclusive. I don't think they'll do that. I think they might have some like potential to new IPs which are exclusive for a time, but like ESO, like all the Dooms and stuff, they're still going to be on all the platforms, I think, because it's going to make Microsoft money. Like they're becoming like, it's their publisher then. They're going to be making money off selling it on. And also the really weird thing is that PlayStation are doing that timed exclusive with Deathloop, which now Microsoft is publishing. It's just a bit messy and I don't know, like, it's a power move, and like everyone was like, oh my god, what's Stadia gonna do? And it's like, they don't really need to do anything as long as they keep getting the games on the platform. So,
Stadia gonna do what Stadia gonna do? At least from a business perspective, you very much see a different approach being taken. You've got PlayStation, who really wants to lock things in because that's the only platform they deal with, and you've got Microsoft, who, if you're installing stuff on a Windows computer, we're still getting money. If you're installing stuff on an Xbox, we're still getting money. If you're playing it through Game Pass, we're still getting money. So their approach is much more, we're going to make money on the cartridge, you know, on the cartridge. We're going to make money on the disc or the download, and Sony's going to make money on the box, a little bit on the disc or the download. Chase, I know that the business side of this is certainly a focus of what you talk about on your channel. Give me your thoughts on this.
I mean, see, the thing that's strange, and I know I have to be careful because I don't want to jump ahead to the other talking points that you've got, but ZeniMax, they didn't just buy them for the IP. This goes deeper. That number that you're seeing for 7.5, that evaluation is future-proof. And let me explain what I mean by that. They're buying the IP, right? They're buying the studios, but they're buying something even greater in value. And Bethesda knew that they had them. They had them at day one when they started having these conversations, and that is Orion. If you listen to the interview that just was recently done with Phil Spencer, Hines, and Todd Howard, it's clear on their mind what they're thinking about. It's cloud. It's cloud. It's cloud. It's cloud. And Phil even name dropped Stadia in the conversation because it's on his mind. Folks, this move was a move that's future-proof. And they have literally – this is the thing that I think you have to look at, Avery and panel, is they have literally cornered every bit of the market now. They have the cheapest console on the market. They have the strongest console in the market. They now have a cloud solution. They're eventually going to turn on where you can buy individual games on that cloud solution at some point. That will happen. And now they have a streaming service that is a Netflix subscription. They've literally – said, you know what? If there's a spot in the gaming space that we haven't covered, we now have. They have literally played chess when PlayStation, and it's crazy. You know, I'm not talking about Stadia here because I think we're not talking about competition from their end of it, because it's not fair to say that they should be competing with Sony or Microsoft. But they have literally played chess when other companies have been playing checkers. I mean, you can see it. It's crazy. And to Dom's point, you know, I think Stadia just needs to continue doing what they're doing. I do think they have to do some things in the now, but in the now doesn't mean go buy a company for $7.5 billion. In the now is get small games like a Rogue company. Get small games or smaller IPs that are going to attract people. Get cross-play. Like, those are the things that you need to focus in on and keep doing what you're doing to stay relevant in the conversation, to at least get some mind share in the meantime. If they can do those things, they're going to be just fine. But this is a massive move for Microsoft. They came in, they threw bags of money down, and they said, what are you going to do? And a day before their pre-orders, nonetheless, like that is a massive, they held on to this knowing that they had that while people had the Craig memes and everything else out there. And they pulled this off. I mean, holy cow.
You can't debate the timing on this. They knew what they were doing to get everything still in the news. And today they announced Doom Eternal just dropped on Game Pass. So again, just keep it all in the news. Scarlett, I know we've had conversations about just the business aspects of this and everything. Get your thoughts in here.
So where this mostly affects me is Elder Scrolls and Fallout. And while I've been able to play those on Steam, I've mostly played them on my PS4. I have no issues with Microsoft, you know, obtaining Bethesda, ZeniMax, whatever all of that is, and creating exclusives if it's a timed exclusive, because I mean, we've got Horizon Zero Dawn that didn't stick with PlayStation for forever. It's now on PC. I hope that they don't, because I know I'm not the only one who's going to throw a riot if they try to block ES6 behind the Xbox, because even though I will get an Xbox S, you know, eventually, not everybody else can. Not everybody else also has a PC or whatever, so they can't, you know, get access to these games. And so if Xbox is like, hey, you know, timed exclusive in 5 years, you know, I'll probably be a bit upset about that. And by a bit upset, I mean a lot. So I have no issues with exclusivity. I mean, PlayStation does it all the time. Except now PlayStation is also saying, you know, we have this game coming on PlayStation, but, you know, it's going to come to PC eventually. And I hear an echo coming off of somebody. but, you know, at first I was totally like mad. I was like, no, they're going to take my games and they're going to hide it from me. And I was like, but wait a second, I have no right to be super mad about this because I will get an Xbox eventually, but I have enough. I feel like I have a right to be mad for other people who won't get an Xbox eventually. So it's a little bit of worrisome. I think it will be okay though. I think Microsoft actually needs this because they lost Halo as a launch title. And I feel like they're kind of like, okay, we need to have something to kind of cover up that mistake.
And in and of itself, well, you know, whatever they were going to launch with Halo and the wonky face aliens and things, I think maybe it's probably for the best that they bump that one back just a little bit, but it's okay. It's ultimately a lot about the consumer advocacy and making sure that people get an opportunity to play the things they want to play. And Microsoft is most definitely making choices that reflect it's the same thing they do with Office. If you want to buy Microsoft Office, you can do it on the web, you can do it on your Windows, you can do it on your Mac, you can do it on your iPhone, you can do it on your Android phone. They'll sell this software to you wherever you want it, because they know that if they gate it from somewhere, that's just sales that they're not going to get. And they're taking the same approach here. If you want to, if all you have is an Android phone and that, and you don't have any other mechanism to play Xbox games, Game Pass works on Android. Give us $15 a month. We'll take it. If all you have is a PC and it's a good enough PC to run some games in decent quality, give us $10 a month. Game Pass for PC. We'll take it. They'll take your money. And they'll give you opportunities to give it to them. Eddie with the Xbox Green going on. I was
gonna say that actually.
Give us your thoughts on this, Eddie.
I think it's a great deal for gamers. Kai said this. I think a few weeks ago, it's a great time to be a gamer. Doesn't matter which platform you are, and it's a great time for just being a gamer. And I am much more closer to Don's on this, which is the IPs that we already know, and it's out everywhere. I think will continue to be out everywhere, and the deals that have been signed will be officially delivered. But going on forward, we'll probably see a mix of the two things. There will be probably exclusive IPs going only on Xbox. And there was going to be new IPs going everywhere.
I definitely agree. Dan, jump in on this.
So I'm going to be really, really hypocritical now and say that whilst I do think that Stadia does need to get some exclusives to kind of make it more attractive and to say, you know what I mean, this is the only place that you can play.
We do have some exclusives though,
bigger ones, yeah. But at the same time, personally, I hate exclusives, and that is purely down to the fact that, to me, timed exclusive not so much. I can deal with them. I was a little bit upset when the Final Fantasy VII remake was a timed exclusive, but I'll get over it when it finally comes to my platform. But to me, exclusives potentially deny games to certain people, because I've kind of made it a rule of mine to not buy a PlayStation unless it was worth me buying one, just because most of the games that I can get that I want are on Xbox, which I have an Xbox, and on Stadia I have Stadia. I'm not going to go out and spend hundreds of pounds on a console just to play one game or two or three games. I did it for the Switch for Smash Brothers. That was just that was never going to come to any other console, really, so I didn't have a choice. But, so I'm missing out on games that potentially could be really, really good because I refuse to buy a PlayStation. And I think if they were to take some of the Bethesda games, like Elder Scrolls and Doom, and lock them purely to, Xbox and PC, again, I'm not really that fussed because I have an Xbox, but there's people out there who will be livid at that, and they say, well, I'm not gonna play it then. And I think games like that, people are so used to them being on more than one platform that they probably might have had a clause in there somewhere to say, look, we want to keep that going in the future. I think if they're going to lock anything behind Xbox entirely, it would be either the smaller titles or maybe a new IP from them.
Starfield, I think, is the new IP coming from them. So that very well, we haven't heard that it's going to go anywhere else. So it could be. Anybody else got any thoughts on this one?
I think PlayStation were actually in talks to make that an exclusive.
Well, I'm going to guess that isn't going to be the case anymore.
I can tell you, because I know it was 100% true, they were going to make it a PlayStation exclusive at one point.
Yep. Probably not going to be that way anymore. Go ahead, Chase.
Yeah, I was just going to say that to maybe make Scarlett feel a little bit more comfortable with the situation, because I know this is a little bit it's a little bit testy, you know, when you have these deals happen. But here's the one good thing that I can say out of this: Microsoft is about money. They want to make money. and they will want to recoup that $7.5 billion as quickly as they can. They're not going to lock all of their IP behind exclusivity.
Oh yeah, no, 100% not. But I mean, if they do time it, I imagine a timing will be, because then you get people more and more excited for it, right?
Yeah, I think ESO, Doom, the ones that are the ones that they have a lot of in-game purchases on, especially ESO, right? They're not going to lock those. Those are money generators, especially ESO. It's in the top five in in-game purchases across all gaming platforms. So there'll be ones that they definitely do, like the lower performing games, they'll put those behind timed exclusives. And then anything else that's high performing, they are not going to lock that. They'd be crazy too with the amount of money they just spent. So I was just saying that to ease everybody's mind. I don't think that's going to happen.
But if they do, we riot.
Say the director of ESO has already come out and said same platforms it already has now, it's gonna keep having. So I mean, certainly it was a big shakeup this week, but the news continued and stuff kept on going. We had a bunch of other headlines kind of hit this week. There was a lot of news, you guys. StadiaSource.com, your number one source for Stadia news and reviews, will have all of these if you want to go check them out. But I wanted to give folks a chance if there's anything in the list that was particularly interesting to them. Baldur's Gate 3 got about of a week delay, so unfortunately not next week, but week after is when we're going to get that. But we're still going to get it. And of interest to the we are still confirmed to get crowd choice. Still confirmed to get crowd choice. And one thing that we learned in the announcement of the delay was that as long as you're on the same patch level, there will be crossplay between PC and Stadia. So, Steam, GOG, and Stadia. Tom, you're interested. I know this is a game on your radar.
Yeah, I'm a huge Baldur's Gate fan. Played number two to death. Super looking forward to this, but my other half's probably going to get on Steam. Simply for net reasons, because sometimes when we both use Stadia, we get a bit patchy. Just simply because the Wi-Fi's not very good in this flat. But they basically said at the beginning, it's going to be a bit hit and miss with crossplay because they can have lots of mini micro patches between platforms. So the first few weeks, if you're looking to play crossplay with someone else, you might want to hold off for a little bit, because they said they can do a little different patches, but they said after a while it will sort of smooth out and everyone will be on the same patch.
Yeah, the glory of early access is rapid agile development with your sprints and your waterfalls, and all the software developers in chat just went, I don't want to hear those words, don't do that to me. We also know this weekend, hey, there, two in one month, we got another free play days weekend. So right now, if you want to go play the Division 2 for free and you didn't already pick it up on one of its crazy sales, which it's back on again, then you can go play Division 2 for free with the patch that just came out, the Season 3 that just launched. And it's free if you're on Stadia Pro. You get a free month of Pro, so why not? You might as well. And then even if you want to just buy it, it's like $4 again. So crazy, crazy deal. Any Division 2 players on the panel tonight?
So just a
reminder that this also goes out as a podcast. So if you raise your hand, that won't actually help me.
I see that on my hand. Does that help?
That's exactly why I
got it. We got it. It's just, I got to get back into it. That's a lot of commitment right there.
Podcast just got well died.
There it is.
I heard nothing and I was like, oh, am I having audio issues? Did everything just go bad all of a sudden? And then just, oh, yeah, over here. Oh, you're breaking my brain, people.
My mom, I can't hear you shake your head.
I definitely want to get back to the game, especially now with the summit, which started this Tuesday. I've watched a few streams, Link streaming the summit, and when I checked it, he was on level 60 or something. I want to give it a try. Just didn't have time this week, but it's one of the games that I'm most playing on Stadia with over 100 hours. And the game is amazing, keeping getting updates, Easter eggs everywhere. And with this play free weekend, I think it's a new attraction for new players as well.
Yep, definitely. Yeah, go sign up right now. You can play with Eddie. You might get matchmaked with Eddie Player One. You never know. Speaking of matchmaking, PUBG, unfortunately, losing its keyboard and mouse lobbies because apparently the interest is just not there, and the vast majority of players play on controller. Anybody got particularly strong thoughts on this one?
Aren't they just mixing them together? Like,
if they're taking out the keyboard and mouse solo ring, we did an article on this. You'd think I would have pulled it up. Chase, oh wait, keyboard, here we go. Hey, look, it's an article from StadiaSource.com, your number one source for Stadia news and reviews, where we talk about, on October 6th, the Stadia Mouse and Keyboard matchmaking pool will be closed. Since launch, Stadia has given us the ability to reach a wider audience, blah, blah, blah. Most people, so we are going to, they were going to consolidate both pools. They chose not to, so now, for Stadia queuing, you will just be a controller-only queue. So I guess, does this mean that the keyboard and mouse people that are playing just go into the general pool?
No.
They just can't do matchmaking anymore?
They just can't do.
I mean, this was kind of to be expected, right, when they didn't do crossplay with PC. Like, I don't know. Like, the majority of Stadia players probably play with controller, and it's an unfair advantage to have keyboard and mouse against them. So, like, who's going to play keyboard and mouse if you're just going to play against bots?
I thought it was crossplay.
No, so crossplay is only when you're using a controller, and then it's crossplay with consoles. But keyboard and mouse is Stadia only, which to me made literally no sense. But whatever.
Well, you had bots.
But the bots, like,
there were a lot of bots. Like, I would get a matchmaking of 100 players with maybe two or three people, and the rest were bots. And I would die for the bots, and then I give up.
Yeah, but I mean, the PUBG bots are probably some of the worst bots I've ever played up against in a video game. Because they were just like, you'd be standing there and they'd just run past you, all of a sudden snap to you, and then just shoot a ton of bullets, miss. And then you'd be like, oh, great. You shoot them and they'd be like, oh, I'm really good. But it was just a bot.
Like, they're stormtroopers, clearly, from, you know. But at least I guess they're still focusing on Stadia. We still get PUBG on Stadia. So, you know. Play on your controller. Have fun. Enjoy.
But I thought that was part of Stadia, is that you had to support like keyboard and mouse, controller, mobile. See, they've obviously got around it by having the bot. So
this is a slippery slope, and I know this is just one game, but I just get very, very antsy about these types of things, because what's the next game? Where are they going to take that away? And at a certain point, this then defeats the purpose of what you've been promoting the platform as, that you can play in different methods, like input method of a keyboard and mouse, input method of a controller. Like, I'm just not a fan of this. I understand why they're doing it. It's a resource and asset issue, but I just hope this is not like a trend, you know? And that's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to make a bigger deal out of it than it needs to be, but that's all.
Chase, do you not think that this falls then somewhat on the devs for not making it crossplay? Because if they'd made it crossplay, then the pools would have been there, more people to play keyboard and mouse.
And Dom, you appear to, from what you're saying, that you've got this backed up. I had no idea that it was locked to Stadia. Everything that I had read when this game first came out was that K&M was crossplay with PC, and that you should be able to do it. So if that's the case, because I didn't see that in the update when they put this article out, but that was part
folks,
of the,
people in the couple people in the chat saying the same thing, that it's keyboard and mouse doesn't have crossplay. So
okay, gotcha. So I mean, yeah, that makes sense on an asset side of it, but I'm just looking at it from the perspective of the game itself, or future games. Sorry, I'm saying this all over the place. Future games, you don't want to see that become a trend line, and that's more so where I'm coming from. It's just a place of concern. That's all.
In other news, they're bringing keyboard and mouse support to Just Dance.
I don't know that I want to admit that.
I did play Dance Dance Revolution with a controller, so totally
done. That sounds like the way that I would do it. Hashtag reasons I'm fat. But I'll tell you. So interestingly enough, on the exact opposite side of this, that keyboard game, the typing game that is part of the Stadia Makers program, the people behind that. I'm pulling it, Nanotail Typing Chronicles, have mentioned on mentioned on Twitter that for them, they actually had to adjust the game to support controller, because even though Stadia has a typing interface, it's not amazing. And so you can play the game without typing, but it's basically just like it does the typing for you. So you just tap the things that you want to go, and then you don't actually have to do any of your typing. So it's more like almost like a spectator mode of the game, even though you're sort of still controlling the characters. So clearly the "we want you to have to use both" is present, but devs are either having to make adjustments down or adjustments up to account for it. But you know, as long as they make adjustments either way. A couple of new games just to mention real quick before we get into the hot topic for tonight. A couple of new games on the platform: Hotline Miami 1 and 2 and Serious Sam 4 launched this week. Risk of Rain 2 coming on Tuesday. We talked a little bit about Serious Sam. Has anybody jumped into either of the Hotlines Miami?
No.
I played them on PS Vita, and they were good games, but I'm not in a rush to go back out and rebuy them.
They remind me of like GTA 1 from like the top-down view and like the graphics.
Mm-hmm.
I've not played them. I might pick them up when I get paid or something. But
no, they're definitely worth buying if you've never played them before. But like I've played them previously. I'm not in a rush to get them again.
I have the feeling that at that price point they could become pro at some point. So
the future pro game price. Any game that's under $30 is a future pro game. Like it just is, because they can't keep giving us six games a month and that not be the game. Nick's with an idea about the typing game. Let's make it a voice activated and turn it into a spelling bee. There you go. No. C-R-A. No. Start again, Google. Could be pretty bad. And then a couple of big patches. ESO Markarth updates are going to be landing soon. And then a huge raft of patches for Avengers, the 1.3.0 update. And then just today, the 1.3.1 update that supposedly fixes, between the two of them, more than 1,000 bugs and issues. Has anybody had an opportunity to jump into Avengers since the patches?
I actually tried it when I did the article for the 1.3.0 patch, because they said they improved the resolution mode. And I played through, the first time I played through completely on the frame rate mode. So I stuck on the resolution mode, and yeah, it's much, much better to play it in that mode now. Runs a lot smoother, basically like a solid 30 frames per second, I think it's basically on now, without any skipping or little bits of slowdown. So yeah, they've definitely improved it.
And I think they've got rid of one of the errors where people were logging into the game and then it would get to the start screen, they'd press start and it would just say, uh-oh, there's a crash, and it would restart as well. Tried to reach out to a few people from Google and from Square Enix, but you don't really ever hear anything back. And they were blaming one another as well. So Square was saying it was Stadia was saying it was them. So not a good look, but it is what it is. But I think
that was actually a feature, not a bug. It was just highlighting how quickly Stadia loads. It was the power of the cloud.
Adam that said if you revoke their access, as in Square's access, in your privacy settings on Stadia, and then try and log back in and then give access back to them, it worked. But that worked for a previous game that he was playing, but it didn't work for this one.
Rage 2 was the game. Yeah, same issue with Rage 2. Yeah. They blamed each other. I found some troubleshooting tip on, I Googled it and found something, turned it off, did it again, it worked. Yeah. It's crazy.
Actually, I read a tweet from, it's one of the folks behind Morrowind that said the original Xbox, they had an ability to basically reboot your computer reboot the Xbox without turning the game off. So anytime your loading screens took way too long, it's because the Xbox ran out of memory, and so they rebooted your system.
Yeah, that was Todd Howard in that interview he did with Phil Spencer the other night.
They talked about that.
So.
Yeah.
Like, ah, how far we've come since riding the Silt Striders across Morrowind. That is it for the news roundup. You can check out all the latest news at StadiaSource.com, your number one source for Stadia news and reviews. Guys and gal, grab a hold of your Tesla ball and watch the sparks fly. It's time for the Hot Topic. Like that one? I didn't say it right, but did you like that one?
The Starks fly.
They just get worse.
That's a good one.
Watch your Starks fly. By the way, members, if you join our channel right now, hit that join button down below at the silver level or higher, you can watch how utterly terrible I am at pronouncing things through a members only blooper reel from the newsfeed. Everybody else will get that video next week. But we appreciate our members who have joined using that join button down below. Guys, there was some news today. Amazon, a company that you might know from delivering your toilet paper in just 2 days flat, decided today to, in the middle of their show where they rolled out all the new Alexas, which is now a little ball, and their flying security camera drone, which was kind of interesting. They also announced a little thing they're calling Amazon Luna, which
Amazon
happens to be
Buna.
I don't know what that means. What's a chicken buna? Oh, no idea. I'm from Freedom Land. We don't have that here. Amazon Luna, Amazon's cloud gaming system, announced today. Pretty big news. So the basics of Luna, for those of you who are just hearing about this for the first time right now, which I can't imagine is very many people, is it is a cloud game streaming service very similar to Amazon. It's extremely similar to Amazon, very similar to Stadia, where it works on any screen. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But they are taking a different approach to the structure of the game streaming service. They are basically going to be charging a small monthly fee. Early access right now is $5.99 a month to get you access to a channel called Luna Plus. And the Luna Plus channel has more than 50 games that you just get Netflix of gaming style. And then there will be an Ubisoft channel that gets released in the future with 50 games plus in that to get you things, including day and date releases for things like Valhalla, Watch Dogs Legions, etc. So I certainly want to get first reactions on this from everybody. Eddie, this kind of came out of nowhere today, didn't it?
Yeah, completely took everyone by surprise with this Nintendo Switch Pro Control.
yeah, that,
I guess the thing that
lovely controller right there
with Google Assistant, Alexa Assistant button as well. I believe it indeed took everyone by surprise, who were not expecting, because I believe everyone here on this panel was already expecting something coming from Amazon. It finally arrived, and I think the announcement got everyone by surprise, but the thing that got everyone by surprise, it's the model they're choosing, which is in between a Game Pass model and Uplay Plus model, if we should say that. But there are a lot of questions still to be answered. Like, are we going to get first-party titles as well? Meaning first-party titles such as New World. Are we going to get games such as Cyberpunk 2077 going to drop on the service? Or is going to be something just like PlayStation Now when we're getting a library of old games?
I mean, it's definitely where when you look at the list of games, there's a whole bunch of stuff in a lot of assorted things, including Sonic Mania, right there, Dan. I know you're just
shut up.
You gotta, Dan, you gotta tell us what your affection is for Sonic Mania and why you're so angry at Amazon for having that.
It's just the best game ever. That's why.
I did enjoy it quite a bit. I bought it for my Switch, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. But, you know, looking through their games in here, of course, they've got some of the new ones like Valhalla and Watch Dogs Legion over there. But I did notice, as I was looking through this list, a lot of games that are also available on, like, Xbox Game Pass. Things like Metro, Two Point Hospital, Biohazard, Overcooked 2. So you kind of get a little bit of both. Plague Tale up here on the right-hand side, Brothers as well. Kai, what was your initial reaction when you saw all this shenanigans today?
I was like, I was confused for a second. I was like, what is this? But as I started looking at it, it was interesting, because I was like, it really does remind me of Stadia on how how it looks, how they're playing about it. I mean, they said you could sign up, you know, and maybe get the early access. So I went ahead and did it. And we'll see how it goes. I mean, honestly, to be completely honest with you, it's kind of how I felt when I heard about Stadia. I was just like, you know, okay, what's really going on? You know, what are they planning on doing? How are they going about doing this? So there's a lot of questions that, you know, that I'm skeptical about. I'm skeptical about the whole thing in general with Amazon and their cloud gaming platform. But this is cloud gaming right here. We're in cloud gaming, you know. So if they're going to do it, they're going to be taking bits and pieces from everything that deals with cloud gaming, and they're going to be implementing it. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do. It's interesting the fact that they have this controller, though, which I was looking at. As of right now, early access, you know, $49.99, which is the cheapest controller out there right now for gaming.
Looks it.
So it's just like, you know, is it cheap because it's cheap? Like, is it just terrible? Like, that's another thing. You want to make sure the controller feels good. You know, you don't want a cheap controller that's going to break on you at any given moment. So, you know, it's interesting.
We said it looks like one of those cheap third-party Mad Catz Xbox controllers.
Exactly. Yeah.
The ones you pick
that,
up. Like,
that right there.
It definitely, though, it kind of looks like it maybe has like a rubberized texture to it. Mm-hmm. The Twitch purple accents there. Of course, they've got all this lighting stuff going on, so this could be just a generic gray controller with purple little accents there. But you know, it's got the button for pulling up Alexa, which you can say, you know, play whatever. I hope I didn't just trigger anybody's devices there. And at least on the landing page, they're talking about Twitch, and they're talking about the integration to be able to play when you're watching a streamer. But some of the articles from Engadget and The Verge mentioned that it's going to be the other way around, that you can also stream from the service as well, very similar to I'm somehow merged these two systems in my brain. I'm going to let somebody else talk for a second because I clearly can't keep these together. Scarlett, give us your thoughts on this.
So I'm going to be that person who's on the other side of the field. I like the way the controller looks. I think it's pretty. I also really like purple. It's my second favorite color after red. So I have used Twitch multiple times because it directly integrates with my PlayStation. So I really like that there's already Twitch in here because it makes sense. Amazon owns Twitch. There's, you know, Twitch Prime, blah, blah, blah. I don't like that they're being open and honest, like, you're gonna have to buy more channels, but they're being kind of sneaky about this. They're like, hey, look, $6 a month and you get hundreds of games, but not really.
You get 50 on for the $6 right now, you get 50.
Yeah.
And then maybe you'll get more later, and we don't know how much that's gonna cost because they're not telling us right
it's
now.
It's a plus. They're like, you know, the 50 plus. It's like it'll be more, maybe. I like this. I like that this is coming. I think as more players get into the cloud streaming kind of game services, I think it's only going to encourage each studio to try harder. I am a big fan of Stadia, and I want to see Stadia do more and more and become something amazing. So I like that we have Amazon, who's another, you know, really big. You got Google, you got Amazon, and you've got some other one. My husband talks about this. They're like the top names that everybody knows. And so with Amazon coming out, maybe Google will say, okay, hey, we need to buckle down even more than we have been. But yeah, I like the controller.
you're not alone. Felix, F-Tendo also in there, loves the controller. So, you know, definitely an option there. You know, I think it's one of those. It's my favorite saying, and I'm sure Dan was just waiting for it. That the rising tide lifts all boats. And I actually tweeted it today. I'm like, all right, tide, we're now rising. Like, this is the moment that we've all been waiting for to start moving everything forward on that. And Chase, we've had discussions on this too about how the more competition there is in the market, the better this all ends up for all of us.
Yeah, 100%. And it'll be interesting to see what the end goal is here for Amazon. I actually think it's pretty evident what their business plan is. I mean, it's two pieces. One, they're trying to combat Google's ecosystem. They want you to buy in. They want people that are already on, they have Alexa with the Echo Dots or whatever it is in their home to just say, hey, we're here. You don't have to move to another ecosystem. And we've got gaming. This will eventually be part of Prime. And I don't mean the Ubisoft piece. I mean the Luna Plus. They're going to wrap that into Prime. I don't think that's going to be an extra charge. I think they're landlocking this right now because they don't want a whole bunch of people on it. They're doing like what Google did. They want to kind of limit how many people are on the service on the front end. And then what they'll do is they'll do a la carte. It'll be just like a cable package. You want Ubisoft? Here's Ubisoft. You want this publisher? Here's this publisher. And you're just going to add a la carte on top of your Prime subscription. What's going to be really interesting to watch, and I think this is the part that's important, out of all this, out of this Amazon news, is they have a huge, huge reach. And I want to separate something here because sometimes we get caught up in, well, the tech works. To general consumers out there, they're not as wrapped up as we are into Stadia works. It's the best tech. It's all this. It's all that. Best technology in business has all. Let me rephrase this. The best technology in business has sometimes not been the winner. The winner sometimes has been the company that had the lesser tech. Because they were more effective in what? How they had outreach, their marketing, their public relations, how they talk to people. So Amazon's an interesting test case here because they have a huge, huge install base. Gigantic. Large, like in a lot of homes. And now they're leveraging one of the biggest things that I saw this coming from a mile away. What? The Fire Stick and the Fire TV. Those are in a lot of people's homes. So now you just instantly, without even having to make someone buy something, you say, hey, guess what? If you got a Fire TV, you can play. Jump on, have fun. It's going to be very, very interesting. And I think Google, again, to go back to everyone's point here, they need to focus on their year and a half, 2 year plan. Don't get off of that. But you have to do small things in the now to continue to stay relevant where you don't get overlooked, especially, again, whether we want to admit this or not, they didn't come into the market the best way. So there's already that stigma. Amazon's not coming into this with that stigma. And one thing that's really interesting in this, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, notice how they led with early access. They have watched everything that Google has done, and they have learned from both the positives and from the things that didn't work, and they have implemented them. So it was a smart play on them to do this. I don't think Stadia is dead. You know that rhetoric's going around? It's not dead. It's not dying. It's here. It's going to be fine, especially when they launch globally. Into more emerging markets. So that's my take on it.
Yeah, it's I don't know what I was going to say. It left my brain. Go ahead, Dan, and then I know Eddie wanted to.
I was going
to
say,
well.
So I'm not going to be having to register LunaSource anytime soon then.
No.
I believe it belongs to a moon-based website anyway, so we'll.
Yeah, we don't have access there. I think, Chase, you do bring up a very smart point about the Fire Stick. If you go into, I think I said this last week on the podcast, if you go to any U.S. retailer around our big shopping series, which is Black Friday and beyond, and then y'all with the Boxing Day and everything, there are just pallets of Chromecasts and Fire Sticks and Rokus right next to each other because you just grab one and throw it in for your Secret Santa drawing at work, or you grab one, you do it or whatever. And now they just got a big end to so many people. Eddie, I know you are thinking about the Fire Stick.
Yeah, because Kai said the controller is cheap. And indeed, it is $59. But in order for you to play on your TV, it's not only the controller. You need to have one of those Fire Sticks. And they go for, there's going to go the new announcement for $40. So in order to play on your TV, guess what? You're going to spend that $100 just as the premiere edition.
And not only that, they also have opened things up a little bit more than that. The Fire Stick has Bluetooth, and you can use your Xbox One controller, your DualShock 4, or mouse and keyboard if you happen to have a Bluetooth mouse and keyboard there. So you you know, whereas the, and you can't use your Stadia controller unless you're playing on PC, because it's probably just using the HID standard. You can't use your Stadia controller on the Fire Stick because Stadia controller didn't have Bluetooth. Sabrina has Bluetooth coming out next week, but nothing on there. I mean, this is, it's definitely a game changer. Andrew, what are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah. So, I mean, I love it because now we see Stadia's competition. This is what we've been waiting for, right? The other cloud gaming competition. The reason why I say Amazon's a true competition, the reason why Microsoft said Stadia and Amazon, the cloud gaming platforms, are going to be their competition, is because Google was a cloud company at the very beginning. Google resides in the internet. Amazon is a cloud company in the beginning. All they ever do, their hardware when they first started, was servers all over the world. That's all they wanted to do. That's how they expanded. That's how they're going to make cloud gaming be effective and efficient. Microsoft, software-based, into console, into servers, is going to try and catch up, which is going to be very difficult. But I just love the fact that, you know, we've been waiting for Amazon to sneak out this new service, and now we finally have a face to it, which is great. And, you know, I don't know. I looked at the website. I don't really see a free tier. And like you said, it looks like they're just doing like an early access, the $5.99 a month. Probably going to call it a beta, because so many YouTubers was like, oh, Stadia, it's just a beta that people are paying $120 for. And that's, so I think that's what you kind of talked on, as far as Amazon learned from the Stadia launch that, hey, let's not call this a service quite at the beginning, which is fine. I am curious if they'll ever have a free tier, because that is one of the beautiful things about Stadia is 1080p 60 FPS, which is right now what the Amazon Luna is saying they're only going to be able to do currently. You know, that's a free tier on Stadia where you just have to buy the games. But I love, again, just your favorite saying, rising tide, all ships rise, super good. You know, I could definitely see Amazon even evolving into, once a game's ported to their gaming Luna service, you search for the game in Amazon and there's just going to be like a little Luna purchase button where you can just, hey, $19.99 digital edition for Xbox, or $18.99 for Luna edition if they ever launch buying physical games. But I mean, in the end, I just love it. I mean, in regards to just the competitions out there, we finally know, we finally get to see them. They're doing that Netflix model of game, which is going to be great. Stadia will continue to build up. And just like you say, Chase, Stadia just needs to stick to their guns. They know what they're doing. I looked up Google's financials. They make $41 billion in one quarter. We're golden. Like, you know, I don't think Stadia really needs to change up a whole lot. And to me, it's also going to be fun to see, you know, all those people that kind of hated on Stadia and cloud gaming. I'm curious if they're going to be excited about Amazon Luna Plus because it's not Google, maybe, or if they're just going to be excited because now we have a Netflix style of games. I don't know, but it's competition's good. I love competition. I love that we know, not the face of the enemy, but like the competition. We now know
what they do. Stadia was trending on Twitter today, and I was like, oh, this isn't going to be good. I don't need to click on that. And of course, it was. And thankfully, it was an even mix of why is Amazon Luna doing this? Stadia is awful, so Amazon Luna will also be awful. And then people, you know, trying to be relatively nice and concise about it. Dan, what are your reactions to the lunacy of this new plan? I stole your joke.
Yeah. I just want to make a note of... This is not to say that it's never going to come, but I also want to make a note of the things like lack of, you know what I mean, crowd play, crowd choice, state share, YouTube streaming integration. I know it integrates with Twitch. That's good, but whatever. I don't know whether that's something that they might be able to bring further down the line, maybe reword it, rehash it a little bit. But to me, it's almost like a Stadia copy and paste, but without some of those features. And I'm not saying that because, you know what I mean, I want it to fail. I want everybody to succeed. You know what I mean? I think you wrote it on Twitter earlier, Avery. You know what I mean? Burger King, well, McDonald's hasn't killed Burger King. You know what I mean? We've still got, you know what I mean? There's room in the pond for everybody. So, but I just wanted to make a note of those missing features. But at the same time, I can't really say much because we haven't actually got them on Stadia either. So,
Dan, to add to that, I know we didn't get, but Baldur's Gate is coming next week.
It's coming.
Just like Cyberpunk
2077. We know
it's coming.
Yeah, we know crowdplay exists. We've exactly. seen it. We don't have it, but we've seen it.
But we know that crowd choice will be available on Twitch on day one as well. So it's up. It's going to be up to every single game developer to integrate their services with Twitch. And I think they will be able to integrate the services with Luna as well.
And we're certainly we're standing at a point where cloud gaming, if anything, Stadia was the herald in the wilderness, being the first person to trumpet that cloud gaming is a thing that can actually happen. And yes, there was xCloud, but it wasn't like their public release. And yes, there was G4, and RIP to Gaikai. But Stadia really was the one that had to step out first, take the bullets, take the slings and the arrows, and get people to kind of give it a little bit of a shot. And then here comes xCloud. And nobody's saying, like, if you look at Twitter for, you know, this stuff, nobody's like, oh, xCloud's total crap, and I can't believe it. People are like, hey, yeah, I got Game Pass Ultimate. I tried xCloud. It kind of works. And now here comes Luna, and Luna gets to stand on both of their shoulders because you have Google proving the tech works, Amazon, Microsoft proving that the games are there, and then Luna gets to kind of get the best of both worlds and work on both. And all that does universally is set us up for a future in which people go, oh yeah, cloud streaming. It's totally a thing. Like, it's not even a question anymore. Nobody questions the concept that you could stream movies and TV shows and audio to your house, despite the fact that there was once a Blockbuster and there was once only iTunes and, you know, LimeWire and Kazaa and Morpheus and Napster. But, you know, it's a different world now with all of that.
Eddie, freeze. Yeah.
All right, and we'll bring it back. Don't you just love StreamYard sometimes? Dom, I we haven't heard from you on this. What have been your Luna thoughts?
Sort of touch on a few points that people have made. Like Eddie mentioned about crowd choice being day one on Twitch. It's not quite the same integration as it is going to be on YouTube. From what I can understand, it's more of a everyone just has to type in chat the number that they want to pick, and then the Twitch sort of
the YouTube interface the should be the clicking, but yeah, Twitch's integration like has always been
So there's slight like iterations between them. Yeah, I mean, like Luna seems to take.
I have to retort because it is clicking as well on Twitch.
Oh, it is.
Does Twitch have an integration for that?
Okay. Yeah.
All right, my bad then. I, from what I understood, it was typing, but okay, I'm proven wrong.
I'm thinking of Twitch Plays Pokemon.
I'm not sure. I agree. Integration. I'm not sure I agree that it's going to be bundled with Prime though. Like from what and the wording on it, it's $5.99 inductory price, which means I think it's going to be more expensive later on. I think this is just like an early access, get people to try it, and then they'll bump the price up later on. Similar to Game Pass on PC, has now gone up in price by about $4, £3 or something like that. They've taken inspiration from little bits, haven't they? I mean, we knew this was coming. I didn't think it was going to come this year. Personally, I thought they were going to release it sort of. Well, you speak about it 2021.
Project Tempo
is what it was sort of rumored to be called. Not a big fan of the controller. I as said, I think it looks like a sort of knockoff of various controllers. But yeah, competition just will help, won't it? It'll bolster everything. Like, and Amazon have tried in the past, like their, if anyone remembers the Amazon phone, which was awful.
Fire phone.
Awful, because it had like four cameras in each corner. It was terrible. It really did badly. And they've also not had great success yet in the gaming world with Crucible, which they released on early access, and then the gaming world utterly rejected it. So
no,
like yeah, it's cool, and I'll try it when and if it comes to the UK, because at the moment it's only US. So excited!
Yeah, I think all of my US stream teamers today were like, early access, I'll click that button. Why not? So I think all of us together, half of our team is in the UK and half of them are in the US. So we're all sitting there going, well, we can click the button. Clickety, clickety, click, click.
That's right. We'll send some spies in.
One thing we have not mentioned.
Not Freedom Land.
Well, That's true. Yeah, we got Eddie just to my north. Couple of things that haven't come up that we do want to hit on is clear proof that it can work. They will be launching with two simultaneous players. So if you and somebody else who have the Luna Prime or the Luna Plus want to play at the same time, same game, you will be able to do that. And biggie, they're launching on iOS. They're doing it through a progressive web app. So iOS and iPad OS will have access to this, which means clearly it can be done through a progressive web app. We just haven't seen Stadia do it quite yet. Chase, I know you had some more thoughts on this.
Dom and Chase. It's not on Android. They're not releasing on Android straight away, which I found a little bit strange.
Yeah, coming in the next few weeks, they said.
So Dom, I actually don't think it's strange because they have a partnership a little bit behind the scenes with Apple. There's more to that, by the way.
Money deals.
Yeah. I get that.
And Apple and or Google and Amazon have kind of been frenemies for a very long time, dating back to the Chromecast and Amazon Prime Video, and they've not really, you know, YouTube on Amazon things. They've not really wanted to play very nicely together, and they've only recently started doing it either because they saw the dollar signs or they saw the court docket. One or the other were going to be in play on this. Chase, jump in.
No, I was just gonna. So to Dan's point about that it's a copy and paste, I wanted to give a movie for everybody to go watch because I think it's an interesting test case to the point I was making about that the best tech doesn't always win out in business. Go watch The Founder. It's a 2016 movie about what? Ray Kroc and McDonald's. Ray Kroc took the amazing idea that was in place by the I keep saying McDonald's, the brothers that actually founded McDonald's. He took it and ran with it, copied it, and ended up winning in the end, even though the brothers had the better idea. So don't think it can't happen in business. Just because you have the best idea doesn't mean that you're going to win out. And I'm saying that not to put Stadia down. I'm just trying to put that piece out there that's something that happens. So
you at least have Google. Google has very much proven that they are willing to wait. With Chrome not hitting market share until 10 years in, Gmail took off pretty quickly, but it's only gotten better. Google Photos had to be ripped from the cold dying corpse of Google Plus, which they let live for way too long. So Google is willing to give things time and wait if we will give them time. Random comment from Shane, from Brother Shane in the chat, one of our members. Luna is also the name for a revolutionary recording system by UAD released this year that many music studios are starting to use. So let the SEO fight begin. up until today. So we looked at. Shout out to John Scar from the Best Buy Canada gaming blog, who is also very sad that this is not in Canada. But he and I were chatting about this today, and he's like, oh, wait, Amazon, at Amazon Luna, it's a thing, and it has like 12 subscribers. So I was one of the first 50 followers of at Amazon Luna, which I'm certain at this point is probably in the thousands or whatever else, and I'm too lazy to go look it up. But we'll see how well they do. Certainly, the other problem is if you search Amazon Luna, you get... in fact, I'm going to do it right now live to show you what I saw because it's kind of ridiculous and it's all about SEO. Amazon Luna. It's nice. You get this news, but then there's like, you know what? They finally, it's better now because of all the news. Earlier today, it was just 1,000 things you could buy on Amazon named Luna.
It was like facial creams and stuff like that to right. make your face look younger.
Thankfully, apparently, everything has shutted it down. The Stadia community is apparently talking about Amazon Luna. That's right there. So interesting that this might be coming up. It's on Wikipedia now, too.
The Luna controller takes 2 AA batteries.
Yeah, I saw that.
It has a USB-C port on it.
Yeah, but it...
Like, is that for headsets only, I guess? Or, like...
It's probably for direct connectivity to like the Fire TV, or there might be the option to do rechargeable batteries in it. That might be the other thing.
And you can buy those on Amazon.com.
I've always preferred controllers with the batteries, batteries, and the last last longer. I've always thought, like my Xbox controllers go for ages, depending on the type of.
Except when it takes the batteries out for
something. For the love of play.
Oh. Okay, so
Because there's not, I mean, there's nothing worse than you, like, you're playing a game and you forgot to recharge your controller and it dies. You've either then got to stretch a cable and
I do want to point this out. Price details right here, $20 off, $69.99, only available during early access period. So that is not the final price of that controller unless they decide to change this. So kind of interesting. I've seen that. Yeah. So breaking news, you're not paying just $50. It's also $70, but it will be later.
This sounds and, like a curse, though, this slogan. For the love of play.
For the love of play. Cripe and criminy.
They're taking everything. They're just taking bits and pieces.
What is this weird little textury nubby? I don't know how I feel about that.
It's just grippy.
Some sort of grip or something, isn't it?
It's grip.
What if you do? You're feeling over it, and if you're Charles, we need your help on this. If you're kind of feeling over it, and you go, wait a minute, what does that say? What are they talking about? Buy Amazon Prime products now. Subscribe for just $29.99. Be a perfect place to put advertisements there. Anybody else got any final thoughts on Amazon Luna before we wrap that segment up? All right.
go Luna.
Go Luna. You know what? Go Luna. I hope they do phenomenally, and I hope it grows and grows and grows, because all that means is get more people who are going to – and – I'll also say this. It means Amazon putting pressure on studios to add crossplay, because they're going to want crossplay on these games. So now you've got Google and Amazon, the two biggest huge companies, saying, come on, EA.
Competition.
Well, we don't know how, like, what this is running on yet, do we? So we don't know how much, like...
It's running on Amazon AWS servers, so it's going to be on EC2 containers. The question is, you can run Linux servers on EC2. My company does it. You can run Windows servers on EC2. Yep. And the fact that this is so easily adopted for these games that are already on Xbox Game Pass, which is running Xbox hardware, which is based off of DirectX and Windows kind of backend to some degree, it's Windows Server. I would be amazed if this is not running on Windows Server, because if this was running on Linux, then there'd be all these games that we don't have for some reason that we really ought to have, and why don't we have them? If these games were on Linux, then we should have Sonic Mania, sorry Dan, and Control and Everspace and, you know, Res 7 and so on and so forth. So I suspect this is Amazon running on Windows Server, but who knows? Could be completely wrong. Because so far, whereas Stadia launched out of the gate, I don't want to resurrect this horse just to beat him again, but it's kind of going to Chase's point earlier, and it just occurred to me, so I'll say it. Stadia came hard out of the gate with the tech is amazing and let's talk the teraflops and let's talk about all the blades and the servers and stuff. And Amazon came hard out of the gate and said, it's 6 months a month. You get all the games you want. Here's the controller. It's got Twitch integrated and you can play on whatever screen you want, including the iPhone. And that's it. That is at least round one of the ball game that they very clearly learned from, you know, oh, well, everybody said Stadia was going to be the Netflix of games. Well, we'll just make that. Well, everybody said Stadia was too expensive for their subscription. Well, we'll just do that. Cool. You know, everybody's sad that you can't play Stadia on iPhones. Oh, yeah, we'll just do that too. Cool. Why not? Yeah, yeah. Everybody's sad that Stadia doesn't have a lot of games. How about 100 on day one? Or close to it, because early access. So... we'll see. Project Storm. Are people going to get on Amazon for not being transparent, not telling everything, consumers everything they want to know? Amazon keeps stuff close to the vest, probably just as close to the vest as Google does. And Dan has Felix has nabbed Lunasource on Twitter, just in case we need it. So we have at Lunasource, which whoever owns Lunasource.com is probably not going to be super super happy about that. It's and Nyx. Luna is the name of Earth's moon. Is it a Google Earth tie-in? No, I can't imagine that has anything to do with it. I couldn't resist the Star Wars joke. You know, that's not a moon. Anyways, it's Amazon, the Death Star. My nerd is showing. With that note, thank you guys for a fantastic Hot Topic discussion today. We have posted the Hot Topic poll on at Stadia Source. So if you want to give us your thoughts, are you going to try to get in and play with Amazon Luna? Head over to at Stadia Source on Twitter, take the poll, and let us know your thoughts on that. It's the Hot Topic poll. Guys, this week on Stadia Crew, thank you so much for being a part of the Stadia Source Roundtable. Kai, if people want to find you on the interwebs, where can they go?
I am on Twitter at BlackKai11, and you can also find me at 80 Player One's channel on Tuesday nights at 8:30 doing TWS Unfiltered.
Fantastic. Kai, thanks for being here. Chase, if people want to find you, where can they go?
You can find me on Twitter at PhantomUFCFan. You can also find me on YouTube. It's youtube.com/... Man, I almost forgot my name. Stadia Talk. I'm sorry.
You got to give the whole string. /C/U.
That's that proper
12. I'm sorry, y'all.
Eddie Player One, thanks for being here. Where can people find you?
Yeah, thanks, Avery. Thanks to Stadia Source team for having us. Just Google search for Eddie Player One. I'm going to be there on Twitter and on YouTube.
Fantastic, Eddie Player One. Guys, and be sure to tune in to This Week on Stadia Unfiltered to see what the beer of the week is from Kai and get all of the news, all of the good unfiltered Stadia news. We give you just a little bit of filtering here. They're unfiltered, totally, 100%.
Completely.
So you want to go there. If you like that pulpy Stadia news, that was just gross. Me just saying it was gross. I'm going to move right on along. We want to thank everybody who tuned in live tonight. It is so awesome to have such a poppin' chat. And we really, really, really do appreciate y'all jumping in with us. We also want to say a big thank you to all of our supporters. If you have not clicked that join button down below, you can join this amazing list of folks who are in our platinum tier, our gold tier, and our silver tier, and of course, our bronze folks. We appreciate every single person that supports Stadia Source with that join button down below. Nobody's bought us a coffee. I don't know why, but hey, do a super chat instead. We'd rather have a super chat. It's perfectly fine. And of course, big thank you to our previous patrons on there. As well, hosting for Stadia Source generously provided by Rock. You can find out more about the technical expertise provided by Rock at rock.co.uk. That is ROKK. If you are listening to the podcast, you can watch us live most Thursdays here on Stadia Source YouTube channel. If you are watching us live, then you can download us on Pocket Cast, Spotify, and everywhere else you get your podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Stadia Source. Like us on Facebook. Tell us what you want, what you really, really want, and join our Discord at stadiasource.com/discord. The music at the top of the show is Summer in the Neighborhood. I think I just broke Chase. Here in the outro, I broke Chase. The music at the top of the show is Summer in the Neighborhood by Bad Snacks. Check out her music at badsnacks.bandcamp.com. If you haven't already, down below is a thumbs up button that lets us know you like the show. And right next to it is a subscribe button that lets you know every time we post a new video and when we go live with the Stream Team Dream Team. You can also become a member of Stadia Source channel by clicking the join button down below with great perks at every level of your budget. Thank you so much for joining the Stadia Source Roundtable podcast. My name is Avery. Have a good one.